ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. All kinds of stuff that we can go over today. Did you see that video from the Miami game?
The cat?
The Hurricanes, the cat video?
Yes.
We got to talk about that.
Probably the highlight of the weekend.
It was the most awesome thing you're going to see in a college football stadium outside of maybe some chanting.
It's true, true. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
If you haven't seen it, go look it up. I mean, it was awesome. Awesome job by that guy on that weekend. I mean, it was on that day.
Yeah.
Just a crazy, crazy thing. College football, huge news yesterday afternoon. USC has fired Clay Helton. So who's next? I want us to rank the conferences today, just in the early going. Just a couple of games, small sample size, but where are we at? Where do you think the conferences are? Does anybody out there have any nostalgia for this week's OU-Nebraska game? Listen, kids, this used to be the biggest game in the country year after year after year after year after year. I understand. You know nothing but Nebraska being terrible at football. I totally get it. But this used to be one of the coolest experiences, one of the coolest games there was. So do you have any nostalgia for it, or is that all gone with the Huskers in the Big Ten? Oklahoma State's got a tough one on the Smurf turf. Doing a little research, man, Boise State is going to be able to score, or they have been so far. So that Poke offense is going to have to kind of perk up a little bit in order to get the win. Last night's Monday Night Football game, what a crazy game. It went from such a crappy game to such a crazy ending.
Yeah.
The way it all just kind of, whew, everything happened. We'll put a bow on week one in the NFL. Did you watch Peyton and Eli?
No.
Oh, no. Jared.
Absolutely does nothing for me.
Oh, no. That's going to be a point of contention.
I know I'm in the vast minority in that opinion. But
you are too cool for school.
It does nothing for me.
Oh, it's just awesome. All right. AFC, NFC West, both go unbeaten. I think one of those we might have expected. Not sure on the other. Who's your bounce back team in week two, and whose true color showed, and they're going to stay there? You know, we always see this. There's always overreaction in the NFL week one. Oh my God, the Packers suck,
right?
And then they really don't. So who's going to be some of those teams that'll bounce back? Whose true color showed in week one? Got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Big Elk TV be silent this week with the Elks off. Paragon TV, 7 o'clock Friday night. The Merritt Oilers travel I-40 east to Hinton. Finish up their non-district portion of the schedule. Hinton with a couple of wins, a narrow win on Friday night.
Isn't that crazy?
14-13 against Mangum. So Mangum's won a game by a point and lost a game by a point.
Isn't that crazy?
Just to start.
By the way, Mangum, who they got? I just looked at this last night. They have a good one. Who they got?
Efforting. I'll effort. Anyhow, Paragon TV, 7 o'clock, Merritt and Hinton. Also hear the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and find us on iTunes. You can find us on the Skinny on Sports Facebook page or KADSAM.com. If you find us on iTunes, you might as well subscribe. Then you're alerted when it burns flat, when a new podcast drops. Mangum Burns Flat. Mangum hosts Burns Flat.
I think Burns Flat is very underrated. I think they're really good.
Was scouring the AP. They have not updated the high school polls yet.
Okay.
Last week's is the only one I could find. So glad you showed me how to do that.
Oh, you're welcome. That's the only poll I trust.
Because now I don't have to. Then that's why. Now I don't have to worry about looking at the Oklahoman poll.
Or the Tulsa poll.
They don't go outside the metro.
No, they don't. See the news this morning. They misspelled Leedy.
You know, that's
they're not connected outside anything west of, say, El Reno.
That's pretty
ridiculous.
For the story they're reporting on,
It's ridiculous.
That's pretty ridiculous to not even get the name of the town.
You can't even spell the, and I'm pointing out KFOR.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, I spelled that.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous on the story they're reporting on that you can't spell the name of the town.
It is so asinine. They are so disconnected with anything outside the metro, including their sports reporting in local high schools. They have no idea what's going on out here.
You know, there used to be a time.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get riled up.
There used to be a time where that wasn't the truth.
No, they used to be really good.
When you'd fly, you know, BBJ would fly out on the chopper.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's just easier to drive around the city.
Yeah. You don't see them out here anymore. No. So that's why I trust the AP poll more than anything, because it's a collective amount of writers from all over the state.
I think it will come out today, probably after our show, because the date on last week's poll was the 7th.
Okay.
So here we are the 14th, maybe just after our show is over. So you did not like, you didn't even watch Peyton and Eli, or you tried it and didn't like it?
Tried it, didn't like it.
Why not?
Maybe because I'm an...
Maybe you want to hear the play-by... I mean,
yeah, I want to hear the play-by-play. Maybe that's just me because of what I do and what we do for a living. But listen, I got nothing against the Mannings. I gave it a shot, you know. It didn't do it for me.
Man, I'm the exact opposite on this one.
Okay,
because
that's fine.
It felt to me like you were hanging out on the couch with Peyton and Eli watching the game.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Through their eyes, which is a way to watch a game that we don't get to experience because we don't have their eyes.
Totally understand. And I get that angle. But me wanting to watch the game, I wanted a different angle.
You wanted to hear Mike Tirico.
I wanted to hear what they, you know.
Steve Levy, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was Steve Levy.
Louis Riddick.
So that's just me. But yeah. Maybe I should just sit. And last night was the game I probably should have done it, was, you know, because I was not a big fan. I mean, the matchup did nothing for me. We'll get to the game, but I thought it was two bad teams playing each other.
Started out that way.
And so maybe I should have used last night as the opportunity to watch the Manning boys talk about two bad teams playing each other.
It was,
you know, it had zero, in my opinion, and we gave our NFL preview. We don't like these teams, and I don't think it has any – that last night's game has no effect on their playoff chances. I think they're both outside the playoffs and not very good.
Yeah, I think you're being incredibly harsh on the Ravens, considering the injuries that they've suffered before they ever even got to kick off the season.
Right.
Top three running backs were out. They really didn't have a bunch of those receivers throughout the spring training. Good grief. The
OTAs
preseason.
Yeah,
the preseason.
Okay.
You know, Hollywood was, they were all kind of hampered with little things throughout the preparation for the season. They lose Marcus Peters, the all-pro corner, right before the season started. So, you know, the Ravens, and I think I said this last week, they're starting to remind you of what happened to San Francisco last year with just the injuries that you just simply couldn't overcome. And the running game wasn't bad last night, though. And the problem was the offensive line seemed to have a little bit of struggle pass blocking.
Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Yeah, Jackson was happy feet all
night. He was running for his life, still got sacked three times. So you know when that guy gets sacked three times, he was under pressure all night long. Because mm-hmm. He's not one of those where, well, they pressured him three times and they got him every time. No. You have to pressure him 15 times to get him three. And he, you know, but it's the same old for me with him. God, he's athletic. And God, he's exciting. And he's so scary. So scary if you're the defense.
Yeah.
But if you can just sort of contain him in that pocket, very beatable.
Yes.
He's very, very, very beatable. I do think that their weapons are pretty good on the outside. Sammy Watkins was a big addition for them.
Yep.
I think that helps. Hollywood was pretty good last night. Mark Andrews, you know, he's got to be better. You know, over the middle, dropped that one.
Yeah.
Got hit. I mean, it was a play, but he's got to be able to catch it. On the other side, Derek Carr, second most yards ever thrown for on a Monday Night Football game behind Pat Mahomes a few years ago against the Rams in that classic game out in L.A. Threw for 435, two touchdowns. The pick should have been the game-winning touchdown. Went right through the guy's hands, hit the Raven in the helmet, bounced up in the air and was a pick. And then that was an overtime. And then Jackson fumbled it when he got hit on a sack. And the Raiders won the game from there on a touchdown pass to Zay Jones. You know, I think it's too early. You know, I don't know. I think the Ravens are going to be right there in the battle for a playoff spot.
Okay.
I just do. I think they will be because they're defensively, you know, they kind of got shredded last night a little bit through the air, and maybe the Peters injury hurts them more than you think. But they're always going to be, one, well-coached. Two, they're going to have some players. And so I think it's just a matter of
I will say this.
How good Jackson can be.
Yeah.
He's been the MVP just 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that game early on, it kind of occurred to me, it's like, wait a minute, Jared. You don't like Baltimore because of the problems that are perceived to be having on offense, but, man, Baltimore always fields a good defense. I mean, what was that game? Like, what was the halftime score?
It was 14-10.
Yeah, I mean,
17-10 going into the fourth quarter.
Exactly. So I will give them that. That I think their defense, kind of like Pittsburgh, is going to keep them in a lot of games. And then you do that, and when you have a guy like Jackson who could be so dynamic, like as you said, and a hold your breath kind of guy every time he touches the football, yeah, I think it gives them a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I like them better than Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Just, I know you do. Yeah.
I think their offense is so much more capable. I mean, Pittsburgh, listen, Ben looked old.
He's looked old for a few years,
yeah.
Really.
And now the defensively, I think Pittsburgh's better than Baltimore defensively. I don't think that's not saying anything groundbreaking. But I think the Baltimore offense, even with the struggles, I mean, listen, they ran the ball pretty good with dudes that they just picked up off the scrap heap. Now, it helps when Jackson can run for 86 yards. But Tyson Williams, 9 carries, 65, and a touchdown. Latavius Murray, 10 for 28. He wasn't great. But with that extra threat of Lamar, they're always going to rack up rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just a matter of how well can they do it when they hand it off. Williams rushed 7.2 a carry. Murray wasn't quite as good at 2.8. Both of those guys scored a touchdown. And when you look really inside Williams' numbers, he had 1 carry for 35 and then 8 for 30. So he was below 4 yards a carry except for that 35-yarder. But guess what? That 35-yarder happened. You cannot take it away. I was having a conversation about this yesterday. It drives me crazy. You're like, oh, yeah, well, if you take away that 73-yard run, they really didn't rush it very good. Well, they did.
Well, guess
you
what?
You can't take
did.
It away.
You
I mean, it's
you
on
can't
there.
Put it back. Yeah,
exactly.
It's still there.
And so I think that, you know, they're going to have to work through some things. The offensive line is going to have to pass block better so that Lamar's not running for his life.
Yeah, they clearly miss Brown. Right? It feels that way. But again, the defense, I think, gives them hope. But the problems on offense, the offensive line, the lack of depth at running back, although Murray was a good pickup for them, I think those are more glaring than anything else. I think in the long term for Baltimore, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And then the turnovers.
Yeah, and turnovers. And it does feel like Lamar is going to have to be pretty superhuman throughout the entire year.
Yes.
You know, put on the cape and win him games, which he did it 2 years ago. And with his running ability, man, nothing's out of the realm of possibility with him. But if you can hem him up a little bit, it's a lot different team.
Right.
You're going to have to give Peyton and Eli a chance. You're going to have to watch them.
Okay.
They're entertaining. They really, really are. AFC.
I might give him a half.
Give him a half.
I'll give him a half.
AFC and NFC West both go unbeaten in week one. I don't think anybody's surprised about the NFC West going unbeaten.
No.
Everyone thinks it's the best division in football, and week one bared that out. On the AFC West side, though, I think that's a little surprising. Last night's game, I don't know that we would favor the Raiders. Then you had Denver going across the country and knocking off the Giants, and you had the Chargers going across the country and knocking off the football team. Now, two of those teams got the benefit of playing the NFC East.
There you go.
And
Fitzmagic was nothing.
Yeah, and he got hurt.
He got hurt, yeah.
That's true. But maybe we're seeing just a little bit of a challenge to the Kansas City Chiefs out there in that division. At least make it a little bit tougher on them throughout the season.
Yeah, maybe. You know, with the way the Chiefs played against the Browns, you know, Browns had to be perfect, like we said yesterday, and they almost were until the very end, and that gave the Chiefs enough to win. I say maybe the gap is closing, but I still think it's the Chiefs and the rest of the division. They just have to play perfect football. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It wasn't like that, you know, they blew out their opponents, the other teams. You know, there were still some mistakes. I mean, what I'm saying is, if it's Kansas City going up against the Giants, forget about it.
Yeah.
Right? Or Washington. But maybe the gap is closing a little bit.
Yeah,
the thing about the Chiefs is that, you know, they basically rebuilt their offensive line. Once that becomes once they start, you know, to gel and be, you know, more in tune with each other, you know, with Creed Humphrey, who was dang near perfect on Sunday, Orlando Brown, you know, we could talk all day about their offensive line. Once they start to get more in tune with Patrick Mahomes, that they could be really good. Because there were times, real early that times, I thought Mahomes is still scrambling a little bit. They're early in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of saw that offensive line get more in tune with each other.
Yeah, still the concern there for me, the weapon. I mean, when I say concern, I'm talking about winning it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's Kelce, there's Hill. Man, they can't afford for either one of those guys not to be there. Because it's pretty lean on the outside after that.
Right.
You know, you take Tyreek Hill off of that team with injury or whatever for a couple weeks even, and that thing looks a lot different than what it does right now. Because he is, speaking of scary, you're just so scared to death of him that you can't hardly double team both those guys. So you have to leave one of them, and you figure, well, you know what? It's got to be Kelce because he's not going to score from anywhere on the field every play. Who is a team that you think will bounce back? By the way, hang on. Before I say that, I know to the point of the AFC West, I know they all won their game. I know they went all undefeated. But do you think they're the second best division in football? I don't. I don't think they're the
second best division of
football. Behind the NFC West.
The NFC West.
I don't think they're the best division in the AFC. Even though they did get two wins over the other one. Give me the North. The AFC North. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
As the second best?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that. Man, who do I think could be the second best? Maybe not the AFC East. That's used to be the best, but not. They've dropped. Maybe the NFC South, because of the way New Orleans and Tampa Bay and even Carolina played. Atlanta weighs them down a little bit. Maybe the NFC South, but I see your argument. I mean, I wouldn't go against that about the North.
Who do you think one of the teams that you looked at their result and went, what?
Well, the obvious answer is Green Bay.
Yeah, see, I think it's Buffalo.
Yeah.
Let's see who they play.
Who they got coming up?
Yeah, let's look here. Oh, I need to get that book. It's right here, right in front of me.
I don't know. I mean, there's Buffalo but still it is the Steelers and kind of like Baltimore, kind of forget about how good their defense is. But the way Green Bay just lost. I mean, I went into this season thinking about New Orleans and Jameis Winston. Man, they're going to be down. It's not Drew Brees anymore. It's Jameis Winston. I still remember him in Tampa Bay. So to see how they just dominated Green Bay, and it made me wonder, you know, and I'll admit I didn't watch the game, just saw highlights. How much was Green Bay losing because of internal issues or because St. Louis was really, really good?
Well, I mean, you got to think that
a little bit of both.
You got to think some of that caused some problems. There's no way you can just dismiss what happened throughout the summer when you see a team get beat 38-3 and go, oh, yeah, that didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
It's got to have something to do with it. It's got to just a little bit. Now, how much we might find out, you know, in the weeks coming. But, you know, Rodgers threw multiple picks for the first time since week 6 last year. You know, last year he threw 2 picks in the week 6 game and he only threw 5 for the season. Big part of why he's the MVP. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they can get that thing back, if they can get that thing back, because they were just thoroughly embarrassed by a New Orleans team. I mean, Jameis's numbers weren't – he threw for 148 yards. There's very few times in NFL history, maybe the only one, where you throw 5 touchdowns on only 148 yards. You know what I mean? Normally, if you throw 5 touchdowns, you're up 300 or 400. And he was able to do it on just 148 yards. So, you know, New Orleans, here's the thing about New Orleans, though. And they became this at the end of the Drew Brees time. You know, Brees was obviously limited for the last couple of years with arm strength. They became a defensive team without you realizing it. New Orleans' defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's they became that. They kind of morphed into that because we're so used to it being Brees firing it all over the field, scoring points, and can the defense hold on? The last 2 years, they became a lot different than that. And it was hard to realize it because Brees was still the quarterback, and if you didn't watch every game, you didn't realize he's not the same guy.
Right.
And that defense has to be good, and it was, just not quite good enough to get him into the Super Bowl. And so, you know, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that with everything that went on in Green Bay throughout the summer, that New Orleans' defense was able to maybe not do what they did, but at least limit Green Bay. And they did way more than that. They just dominated the game. Another team that I'm wondering about, a couple others. I would not put Cleveland in this category because I think Cleveland played well and lost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put them in this. For a bounce back. A team that Dallas would be the same way. Dallas played well and lost.
Right, right.
One team that did not play well was Tennessee.
No, yeah.
Tennessee was god-awful.
They were bad. They were very bad.
And you wonder, you know, they play different than a lot of other teams. They try to run it with Henry, just kind of manage the game with Tannehill. You know, he's been better than that at certain games, not at others. I'm anxious to see them and Indianapolis both in that same division of the AFC South. Indy was just manhandled by Seattle from the word go. They couldn't block. Their offensive line was supposed to be one of the best ones in the league, and they couldn't block anybody. And Wentz was running for his life. So those are two teams that I'm looking to see if they just have problems or if they had a problem in the first game and they can fix them. Who do you think was exposed, and we're just going to see that that's what they are?
Great question. I mean, there's some teams that lost, and we knew who they are. We, you know, like the Lions. Right, we knew about them. I mean, are we shocked that Indy lost to the Seahawks?
Just the way they got manhandled, I thought that'd be a really good game.
And that could be an answer to your question. The Jets were going to be the Jets. I don't think anyone really believed the Jaguars. I mean, you thought the Jaguars might play better against the Texans and Tyrod Taylor.
You would hope so.
But they just didn't.
Did you see that story yesterday? Speaking of the Texans,
no.
Outkick had that before the draft. The Texans turned down a trade package that included 3 firsts and 3 thirds.
That's insane.
What are they doing?
They turned it down?
Turned it down. Now, back at the draft time, it wasn't quite as dire as it looks now. That's got to be something there, though. There's no way they did that. Even certainty surrounding Watson at that time.
The Texans are so scared to trade him.
And then it'd be great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. What they need to realize is he's never going to play again.
No, he's,
so you might as well get 3 firsts and 3 thirds if you can. I mean, at this point, it looks like they're just going to keep him for nothing. Anyhow.
Yeah.
I was baffled by that story. The team that I think we saw who they are, and it's not going to get any Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bears.
Yeah, although, you know, the Rams are really, really, I think, really
Rams
good.
Are good.
You know, they're in that tough division.
Rams are good.
But it looked like Chicago didn't even have a pulse.
The Bears, you know, they were in it at halftime, and then they weren't. 7.5, and then they get them. And I think it's just a matter of it's the countdown clock of when the Andy Dalton experiment ends and when Justin Fields takes that team over. And that will be the exciting
update. I thought he was in the game.
Yeah, and then he's running in there. Well, here's the deal. If there's a team that you don't want a rookie quarterback making his first start against, it's those monsters on that defensive line for the Rams.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald obviously included in that. So you get through the little chance, but I think if he struggles like he did, he'd be done, and it'll be Justin Fields' team. And then with the rookie quarterback getting his feet wet, and we'll move on to do for them and see if they can be better. Don't see it for them. A team that, you know, could be good. Be them. And maybe Tennessee. Tennessee scares me.
Scares you how?
The third. Man, that'll be beaten to a pulp.
They shouldn't scare anybody if you have to play.
No. It scares me they're not going to be any good.
Oh, yeah.
For a team that some people thought might be the contender to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
To get better.
Yeah, Julio Jones has to get younger.
Chandler Jones just sacked Tannehill again. College football, week two in the books. And it brought a huge job open with USC firing Clay Helton just two games into the season after the Trojans were just ran over by Stanford 42-28 inside the Coliseum on Saturday night. Stanford was coming off a 24-7 loss to Kansas State. And so AD Mike Bone had seen enough. And so he pulls the trigger. That's now three coaches. I think the last three coaches USC's had have all been fired during the season.
I hate that.
Here's the problem.
It doesn't make you any better, in my opinion.
Well, here's what it does. If you make that decision week two and don't pull the trigger, you give Clay Helton a chance to come back.
Right.
I mean, what if he runs the table? Then you can't fire him. I mean, I guess you could, but it'd make it a lot harder. But I don't disagree. Here's my problem with the whole thing. It's almost obvious you were going to fire him at the end of the season no matter what. Then why the hell did you let him start?
Right.
Fire him in the offseason. Get another coach.
There's all that talk in the offseason.
Yes.
And once it got into the summer, and that usually that talk kind of cools down, and then it turns into, well, this is his season, his make-or-break season. Turns out it was only two games.
Right.
I mean, what happens if they run off five straight wins? What if they beat Stanford and win their next three or four? And then it's, what, are they just waiting? Did he have an ultimatum? So as soon as you lose, you're fired.
No, I think the ugliness of it and just the fact that this was going to happen. New AD Mike Bone, you know, that's not his guy.
Yeah.
And so give me a sign here. And so that's what happened. And now, of course, the immediate conversation goes to who's next.
Of course.
I think there is an interesting connection on a young guy that's up and coming that a lot of people peg at different jobs. Now, Dante Williams is going to be the interim head coach. You wouldn't imagine he'd have much of a chance, but who knows? If he pulls off a miracle, then you might see a Bill Stewart situation like there was at West Virginia, which worked out terrible. But anyway, you wouldn't really think he'd have much of a chance. But he is going to become the first black head coach in USC football history as he's navigating the rest of the season. So if we take it at face value that we don't think it's going to be Dante Williams, there's a bunch of names popping up. And I think I actually think there is one mega favorite.
Was it? Okay, go ahead.
Luke Fickell.
Okay.
For multiple reasons. One, he's done a great job at Cincinnati. And two, do you know who hired him at Cincinnati?
Would it be this guy?
It is, Mike Bone.
Mike Bone? Okay.
Yes. So that connection there, I think, gives Fickell I think it's going to end up being his job to turn down. Now, what if he does? Who else is in the run? Or, you know, you may not even believe what I just said. So who do you think? You know what
no,
I'm saying?
I've said it. That guy's going to find a big job, Luke Fickell. As soon as one came open, I've said that before in the past. I like what you said about O'Brien. I want to give you credit for that. We were talking about this yesterday afternoon when this went down. I think Bill O'Brien, because he obviously was at Penn State, had success, went down to Houston with moderate success in the NFL, and is now the offensive coordinator at Alabama. And how many coordinators have we seen revamp their career under Nick Saban, right?
Right.
So he seems like a natural fit as the progression goes with his path. You know, there's always going to be the young guys like a Matt Campbell will be thrown around. Interested to see how, you know, interested he would actually be in taking that job. And then you're always going to hear Bob Stoops. I don't believe one bit of it, but there's always that. And you kind of mentioned, man, that the way things went on Sunday, I bet Urban Meyer's thinking, dang it.
Oops.
I should have waited out a little bit longer.
But surely don't you think that after the season last year, in the spring and the summer, when all the talk was of firing Clay Helton, don't you think they called him and said, listen, Herb, if you want this job, we'll fire him? Don't you think they did that?
I'm sure they did. You would think so, or some kind of back channels. Yeah, I would think so.
I think there is one interesting name that's in within that conference that's obviously doing a pretty good job. Because I just got a text, Fickell doesn't seem like a USC guy. I don't disagree with that.
He does seem more Midwest.
I would not disagree with that statement. It's Mario Cristobal. Now, you want to talk about a move going from Oregon to USC within the same conference?
I'll do you one better. What if Chip Kelly just has a fantastic year at UCLA?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Hey, Chip, you wouldn't even have to move.
Yeah, I don't. Now that
would be epic.
Whoa. That would be pretty wild.
That would be crazy.
I could actually see Cristobal doing it.
That's not the first time we've seen in any conference, but in the Pac-12 or in the Pac whatever it was back then. Who moved from one school to the other in the Pac-12 the last time? Help me out here. Washington was connected to this.
Well, there's Peterson.
Well, Helton. Who was where was Helton before?
He was on that staff, wasn't he?
So look that up. Anywho. No, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, you've seen like Mullins move from Mississippi State to Florida.
That's right.
I mean, it can happen.
Would they dare call Lane Kiffin again?
No. I think that ship has sailed. That's an interesting text I just got.
What?
What about Sarkisian?
Oh, there's no way. There's no. If Lane Kiffin's a no, that's a no.
If we're going back to old coaches. No.
That's a no. James Franklin's name, Penn State, he's been brought up in the stories I've read. And you mentioned Bob. I will say this. Doesn't that seem like a lot more chill spot than some of the others?
Yeah, and it's a job he wouldn't mind giving it a shot, and they go, it didn't work. They fired me. Just didn't work out. He'd be okay with that.
They're hanging out in L.A.
Yeah.
He's hanging out in L.A. anyway. They wanted
but
to go
I think
that route.
He is so – enjoying retirement for the number one thing of the stress is not there anymore of having to coach. It just seems like a complete 180 with his attitude, and so I don't know if he'd entertain even, I mean, a phone call. I don't know. Does it feel like he's more just loose? He's like, you know, I'm good where I'm at.
Yeah, but I think maybe that's where with.
Just but on the other side of him, as a coach, he might say, you know what, I only got one national title. You know, I got an itch. I kind of want to see if I can get another one.
Yeah, I think it's a long shot, but. I don't know if it's just dismissible.
I got some breaking news.
Right off the top. I've got one too. Altus.
No.
Oh, I've got that.
This involves Clinton.
Altus has gone a different direction.
Head coach-wise?
Yep.
So they pulled a USC, huh?
They released Dan Coconauer on Saturday morning.
My goodness.
Going a new direction immediately. What do you got?
According to Clinton superintendent Tyler Bridges, Millwood school officials have notified Clinton that they will not be able to play Friday because of eligibility issues.
Whoa.
Clinton is working to find a replacement team for Friday's homecoming game.
Whoa. So that's not...
So it's not a COVID issue. It's a grade issue. Keeping your grades up, kids. This is why we tell you, get it done in the classroom.
Pretty crazy.
And that would be a shame. Homecoming? Come on. I guess the fiend thing, you just move the home. If you can't play it, just say, well, we'll have homecoming
later on the season.
Later on in the year.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
so if you had to, if you
I
had
really
to guess,
hope they get something done because I had plans Friday night to go watch a football game.
If you had to guess right now, and it's going to be a long drawn out process, you know it is.
Oh yeah, it's be all the talk.
Who would you guess will end up being the next head coach at USC?
O'Brien,
Bill O'Brien.
Could you convince me yesterday because they like guys who were in the NFL? Pete Carroll, obviously.
They've hired a bunch of them, man.
Yeah,
they really have.
I think that's where they'll go.
They really have hired a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll say O'Brien. My second favorite would be Matt Campbell, if I'm a betting man.
I'm going to go Fickell because of the connection with Mike Bone.
Okay.
But I don't disagree that it doesn't seem like a fit. So maybe that keeps that from happening. But he's been successful. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Rank the conferences, Jared.
SEC 1, I'll go Pac-12 2.
Ooh.
I'm going off the top of my head. SEC 1, top the Power 5, obviously.
Yes.
SEC, Pac-12, Big 10. Now we're getting muddy. ACC, Big 12. The Big 12 hasn't impressed me. It just feels like, I know this was a conversation yesterday afternoon. It just feels like it's Oklahoma and there's a big gap between everybody else. Especially after the Iowa State loss to Iowa. It just seems like the same old Iowa State. So, that's where I'll go. How about you?
I'm going to go SEC. Big 10. Pac-12. Big 12. ACC. Talk about having to impress. ACC. Whoa.
We'll see this weekend, Virginia Tech and West Virginia.
Yeah, that's
Virginia Tech might be this year's darling, you know?
I mean, you're talking about a 14-team conference that only has five still undefeated. Big 12 still got six teams undefeated.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, listen, we know the schedules work out sometimes. But the problem for the ACC is it doesn't look like the bell cow is going to carry him across the finish line this year. With Clemson already having an L 2 weeks in. Who'd ever thought that? Clemson and Ohio State both with an L after 2 weeks
and
of football.
You almost could have put Notre Dame in that.
Notre Dame got a little, you know.
Get real lucky against
real
Toledo.
Real lucky against Toledo. Hey, listen, the Sooners, lucky against, you can say that against Tulane. I mean, they every bit of could have lost that game.
Do you take any weight into what Tulane did last weekend? Did you see how they came out?
I don't even know what they did.
They beat Morgan State.
No.
They scored like 60-plus
points. Now, they do play somebody pretty decent coming up.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, okay.
They're only two touchdown dogs.
Okay, yeah, I knew they played somebody pretty good.
So that's a primetime game I'm watching on Saturday just to see, okay, is Tulane really going to be feisty or was it just a one-week anomaly? It'll be an interesting game. ESPN 2. Plus, I love rooting against Lane Kiffin.
Man, I like Lane Kiffin.
I know you do.
I like Lane Kiffin.
So there's our boy at
Oklahoma. I also like Mississippi. No, I'm serious.
I thought you were just sucking up to a sponsor.
No. He and I talked about this at lunch the other day. I think Ole Miss is better than people think. And if that game against Alabama was in Oxford instead of Tuscaloosa, watch out. But it's not.
It's in
Tuscaloosa.
Oh, really?
Couple weeks. Took a second,
I
believe.
I misheard you. Okay.
Yeah, October 2nd. It's in Tuscaloosa. If that game was in Oxford, your antennas could go up. Now, Hugh Freeze knocked him off there.
Yeah.
But I think Ole Miss is pretty good. I think Matt Corral is pretty good.
You know who's not good?
Who?
A&M.
Boy, they didn't look very good this week.
I don't think they're good.
Hmm.
I just don't think they're good.
God, if I could just think of who might have said that. Can't remember.
I might have agreed with you.
Yep.
Their schedule is so charm and soft outside of Alabama, but
watch out.
Is it?
Watch out.
Is
next
it,
week.
Though?
Next week. Down in Jerry World.
Against Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Hey, Arkansas.
Arkansas and A&M. You know who I think might be pretty good too? They've won two games, looked really impressive doing it, and now they get a chance to step on the national stage at 11 o'clock in the morning down in Coral Gables. Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think Michigan State might be pretty good.
I've highlighted that one on my alert list.
I think they might be pretty good. And if they can get by this one, they host Michigan. They have to go to Ohio State at the end. The last two games are at Ohio State. They host Penn State. So they get,
yeah,
you know, the tougher ones at home. We can talk about the nostalgia tomorrow. Do you have any for OU Nebraska?
My favorite memory was OU Nebraska 2000, going to that game and witnessing history. Last time, I think fans have rushed the field, and rightfully so. It was awesome. I mean, it was the game where, you know, Texas has tried to call it. This is the game where we were back. That was the game where OU said, we're back.
Officially.
And they more or less have never gone away. They've always been right there at the top. So,
did you get pepper sprayed that day?
No. I didn't go on the field.
I didn't either.
No, I was too scared. A little high school kid. I was too scared. I was scared enough that I drove up there myself. But that's one of my favorite, obviously, nostalgic-wise, favorite memories. And I remember my mom, she went to the Game of the Century, and every time OU Nebraska would play, she'd go, you know, I went to the Game of the Century. I'm like, I know, Mom. Mm-hmm.
My dad, same way.
She loved telling about going there.
Yeah.
And that story of the whole family going there. So, like you said in the opener, kids, Nebraska was good. That 2000 game, that 2000 team was good. 01 team for Nebraska was good. They used to be good. They just haven't been good in a while, and I don't know if they ever will be again.
Yeah, the 2000 game, I think, of course, it's before anybody, you know, everybody had cell phones.
Right.
And we had gone, we were in, I think Elk City played Bishop McGinnis. And I watched that one because I was meeting some buddies that were coming from college. Then we went all the way back to Elk City. And then at like 1 in the morning, 12:30, I was actually at Roper's house, and my dad called and said, hey, Van just called. He's got a ticket. Do you want to go? And I was like, yeah. So I left Elk City like 2 in the morning, got there at whatever, 4. And it was crazy because it was an 11 o'clock game.
It was.
And at 4 in the morning, there was people throwing the football around under the line. I mean, it was like tailgating was about to start.
Yeah.
I slept for a couple hours and stood in line, and we got in there, and it was awesome.
The buzz for that game on that day was, it didn't matter what time the game was. People were going to be up and ready for it. I remember driving in, and you got into town, and that on the corner, almost every corner, people were selling oranges because the end goal that season, obviously, Orange was Bowl. The Orange Bowl.
And that's what always was the end goal back in the day. And there's, if you watch and you don't understand what's happening, that game was always Thanksgiving time.
Yep.
And you'd always see oranges go flying on the field. It's because one of the teams was winning the conference and going to the Orange Bowl.
Correct.
I think my favorite, the one that it stands out in my mind, is such a weird thing as why, but it does. I think it was the 1987 game, Game of the Century 2, as it was billed, with Patrick Collins taking the pitch from Charles Thompson down the near closest sideline, would have been to their left. And as he gets in, he turns around and bows to the crowd. Does the bow. That one stands out in my mind more than almost any other play in OU history, honestly.
Really?
Just the swagger that it took to run all the way down there and then just give a bow as he goes into the end, after he goes in the end zone. I always thought that was really cool, but it's not the same. And
obviously it's not the same. I'm glad that
they asked Hazelwood about it, and he was like, "Huh? It's just a game. Yeah, what are you talking about?"
Well, that's player speak. They just wanted to take it one
But the
game.
Truth of it is, they were all born.
They were born after the games were talking about.
Yeah, in like 2000. They were all like born in 2000. They don't remember
that,
it.
Probably.
Huh? Yeah, some of them are. I mean, if you're born in 2000, you're 21 years old.
Right. You'd hope that they would hope there's at least a time where Coach Riley and staff would take him in the film room and go, "Guys, this is why this game's big," and play some highlights from back then and why, maybe bring in Switzer and have him talk about the good old days of playing Nebraska. And you know what I mean?
You think that they like look at Bob and go, "Oh, that's Drake's dad," as opposed to, "Hey, that was the coach of the 2000 Sooners national championship team."
I think they know. No, they know who Bob is.
I think, it's just, that's Bob.
There's a friggin' statue of the guy.
Yeah, I know, but hey, that's Bob. That's just Bob. He's Drake's dad.
Yeah.
He hangs out here sometimes.
He has a key to every door here.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants, but he just hangs out. He's kind of like the weird parent. It's always at practice. Oklahoma State, right quick, we'll get into more of this throughout the week, but
got to talk about that cat.
It's good. Yeah, we're going to get there. It's going to be a tough one defensively, which means the offense is going to have to show up. A lot of talk of will Mike Gundy get more involved in what's going on, not only in the meeting rooms, but then also as it's happening. Calling plays is an art, and so far Casey Dunn looks like he's just a little bit of a step behind. Now, his offensive line hadn't been good enough to get people off the ball and run the football. That it's amazing how much better your offense looks when you can run the football whenever you want to run it.
Absolutely.
And just ask, the brown and white right here in this town.
Absolutely.
So that would certainly help what looks to be pretty vanilla play calling. But OSU's going to have to figure something out offensively, because I think Boise State's going to score some points on their defense, so they've got to be able to keep up.
Yeah, that I don't know if they can, man. I don't know if they can.
Isn't that weird? It's just such a weird thing to say. I don't know if OSU has enough offensive weapons to keep up. That hasn't been the problem in years.
What point do we start talking about quarterback? They might need to make a change.
Yeah, but the other one's a statue, and if you can't block anybody, you might as well have the guy running around.
Who's the next man up there? You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Don't forget, you can still come play with us on the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Probably ought to get in this week if you're going to do it. They're 61 strong, but you're only 13 wins behind, and we still got the whole season to go. Picking against the spread, great prize package at the end. Western Oklahoma Realty, Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down there, where people before property is their motto. Western Oklahoma Realty. It's going to be a fun contest all year long. Only 9 of us have been able to have winning record through 2 weeks. So that's the whole thing. You just got to have like 3 good weeks, and you're going to be vaulted right to the top of the leaderboard. Okay. Also, real quick, senior night tonight, Elk City softball senior night. Those festivities start at 4 o'clock out at the softball complex. I will be on hand to introduce Dusty Warnke, Jalen Hodnett, and Danny Satilli, the 3 seniors on the Elkett softball team in the season. Look at that memory.
Pretty good.
Thank you, Jay Wyatt, for telling me those names on Friday night.
You may have saved the text, didn't you?
In my mind, I can see it. All right, what about the cat? So if you didn't see this, it was during the Miami game, the Miami struggle, but a win. And all of a sudden, there's this cat dangling from the upper deck and holding onto a wire and holding on. And it's just like the movies where you see somebody like Cliffhanger, for instance, where they're holding on with 2 hands, holding on, trying to reach themselves up, trying to pull up. Couldn't do it. And all of a sudden, oh, there went one hand. Just holding on with one hand. And everybody's watching. And then all of a sudden the cat falls.
And there were cries of desperation,
screeches,
and screams.
And my man catches the cat in an American flag.
I think it was
on 9/11.
Yeah, I think it was a husband-wife duo who brought the flag because it was 9/11, and They held it out like firefighters do.
Yes.
From a burning building. What do you call those? A canopy, a net, or something like that. And they were able to catch the cat. And I think this happened in the student section area. And they held up the cat to show he was okay, and that area just erupted. It's probably the loudest the stadium got that night.
Dude, when he held up the cat, you know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
Simba being shown to the world.
It was Rafiki holding up Simba.
He like held him up like Simba.
Yeah.
He were safe.
Well, then that cat started biting at him.
Yeah, and then he was like clawing. A little bit different than Simba's reaction to meeting the world.
Old feral cat was. You might want to go get a.
Yeah, I get a rabies shot or something.
Get a rabies shot or make sure you're okay.
Clawing and biting at him.
Important thing was the cat was fine. I mean, that was a scary looking deal. And what was cool was the unity of it all. Right, everyone just was getting together and they're happy that cat was okay. Now, me personally, I'm not a cat fan. I could care less.
I was gonna say when you said thankfully the cat is okay, I was thinking wrong. Couldn't we use one less of those?
Yeah.
Don't they have 9 lives anyhow? Yeah. Why in the world?
Well, the way that cat was holding on, I was thinking, I've already used 8.
Yeah, he might have been at 8 because he was scared to death. But yeah, that was pretty funny. You save its life, show it like Simba, and then it just starts biting. I mean, that's just a cat for you.
Yeah, cats are cats.
But what are the odds?
Insane.
That the where that cat was above, the folks had an American flag on 9/11 to be able to to save the cat's life from a falling upper deck of a football game.
That was probably the highlight of that game.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Miami almost lost.
I can't believe we've gone 2 days. We didn't really talk about Florida State and how bad they are.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, the Florida State-Notre Dame game, as classic as it looked, maybe not so much because Notre Dame nearly stumbled against Toledo.
App State, 25-23. They got Michigan State this week. We'll see if Michigan State really is pretty good.
Yep.
Everybody have a great Tuesday. Don't forget to go out to the softball field at 4.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.